I greet you in the blessed name of our risen Lord and soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords. As has been announced, we are considering the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the most wonderful and significant event of all history. There are just two events, and I'm talking of events, happenings, in history that affect all on planet Earth. Just two. And I have brought with me an old familiar OHP. In Chinese, it is Zai. The upper radical refers to water. And as you can see, this is a pictographic. Pictograph. It is a picture of representation of a word. The top is water. See how the water flows in that kind of a configuration. And down below, the tongues of fire leaping up. The two together means great disaster. In our context today, it is the great judgment. Judgment day is coming, old friends. Are you ready? Because none can escape. The first judgment was by water, the flood. And the Lord says, as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. The same idea. What is the same idea? People on planet Earth will not believe. Noah preached 120 years. Not one will believe outside of his own family. I ask you today, do you believe? Oh dear friends, examine yourself. Believe is not in the head, but is it in the heart and transformed into your life. Do you really believe the Lord Jesus, who gave you His life and saved you with His blood and promised to come again, that He will come again, that He will keep His word? And if you do believe, to translate that belief into action, the way you live. So that is the first one. There has been a judgment by water, in the which all on earth, maybe a population of billions, possible, quite possible. And everyone, when the rain began to fall, they said, wow, we never saw it before. We never believed there would be rain at all. They couldn't believe it. Now they saw it. Now it's too late. Climb up to the rooftops, too low. Not enough. Climb up to the trees, not enough. To the high mountains, not enough. Because the highest hill was overflowed by 22 feet of water. No escape. Only escape is in the ark of salvation. Today, God offers the ark of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only safe place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the fire. How will you escape fire when the whole world is on fire? How will you escape? Only way is up. The Lord must come. Today's sermon is based on the scriptures we have just read. But I have given it three headings. Just three headings to help you focus your thinking. First of all, think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as an event. An event. You understand what is an event? Yes, we all have events and calendars. Except this event has no calendar for you to refer to. It is an event that is in the diary and the plan of God. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, the Lord will return. So it is an event. Secondly, there are signs. We have a wonderful God who does not catch you by surprise. You ought not to be caught by surprise. If you are surprised at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is all your own fault. Because God has given ample signs. And thirdly, The third heading is, this event is our blessed hope. If you're in Christ, it is your blessed hope. If not, judgment day and perdition. So think along these three headings. Firstly, it is an event. It is sure to happen. Secondly, there are signs to help you, even as there are traffic signs which tell you, go slow. Dangerous road, bends, and so on. If you ignore, you go at your own risk, you may end up in disaster. There are signs. And thirdly, it is an event, a blessed hope to us, a wonderful blessed hope only to the people of God. Now let's focus on event. Inasmuch as there was a flood, there will be a judgment day of the Lord's return. Turn now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. We have a wonderful God, and I want to stress this again and again, that He does not leave us ignorant. He does not catch us by surprise. He's ever so mindful, so merciful, so attentive to our needs and our weaknesses. You know that? Yes, He knows that in your heart there is that root of sin and unbelief, and He comes to help us. What does it say here? Verse 35. Heaven and earth pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Whatever He says, take note and believe it. If you have any doubt, what do? Pray the Holy Spirit, please take away that doubt. That every time I read the Word of God, I say, Amen. If I have any seed of unbelief, say, Lord, please forgive, take it away. Then you will believe, then you will act on that belief. Verse 37. Now here is a reference to the great flood. The one event that destroyed all living things on earth except those that were in the boat, in the ark. Verse 37. As the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were the days of Noah? Days of Noah, in one word, is days of unbelief. Nobody would believe whatever Noah, the man of righteousness, was preaching. They just laughed at the silly old man. What is he talking about? God coming to judge us and to punish us. Go on with him. So, I said, dear friends, how well do you believe? As the days of Noah, they will carry on as though business as usual. Dear friends, it will not be business as usual in that day. Today it is. Until He comes, yes, it is like as though. But thank God He's given us signs. Verse 42. Watch therefore, oh my friends, thank God for such a caring, merciful, attentive, mindful Heavenly Father. He is so concerned that we who have followed Him will not follow Him in vain. Today we tell you the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you say, always telling us about that. We've heard it so many times. My dear friends, it is a subject that it is worthy of preaching every Sunday, every day. It is the one event that has gripped my heart for 70 years, ever since I heard of it. And that one event has fixed the direction of my life, all my life for 70 years. What is it? The Lord is coming. If He has saved me, died for me, rose for me, ascended to heaven for me, and His last words were what? Go into all the world and tell people that I have all power on heaven, in heaven and earth. and cause people to turn in repentance, and I will come again. Jesus reminded and told his people again and again and again, let not your heart be troubled. I told you I am going away, and you are so worried. Do not. Because I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again. I will come again. I will come again. Do you believe this? So the disciples were very unbelieving. Do you know that? The disciples were unbelieving lot. They didn't even believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. So when the disciples saw Jesus go up to heaven, what did they do? They gaped. They gasped. They said, well, what's happening? Until the angels came and said, you men of Galilee, what are you looking up to heaven like fools? This same Jesus will come again. So I said to you, dear friends, if there is anything else I should tell you every day, it is this. Remind yourself every morning, Lord, thank you for a good night's rest. What is your plan? Will it be today? We must expect him with that sort of expectancy. Could it be today? When you go to bed at night, ask him, Lord, could it be tonight? Keep me fire hot, ready, always prepared for your coming again, that I live my life accordingly. Do you do that? That is to be ready for him. Read on. Verse 42. So the Lord says, watch therefore, you know not what hour the Lord doth come. So you say, yes, watch. Watch and look for what? Signs. Even as it is a long road to heaven, we motorists all look for signs whenever you travel. All of us do. On the way to heaven, God gives us many signs. What are those signs? Matthew 24, verse 5. False prophets. Verse 6. Wars, rumors of wars. Verse 7. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes. Now you say, all these things, we all heard of them again and again through the centuries of history. These are commonplace. How do you identify which one? I say, fair enough, fair enough. Very hard to identify which one is it. But I tell you, there is something that is specific. Something that does not happen all the time for the last thousands of years. Something that is different. Two things. Number one, false teachers and false prophets. Those who will come in and attack God's word and teach wrong doctrine. When you see this happening, you know this is a sign. But especially now, the doctrine of one world church is coming. Everybody love one another. Not only the Christian church join together, but all other religions are welcome. We must join together. This is a sign. This did not happen through the thousands of years. This new is specific. Do you see it? God raised the Bible Presbyterian Church 58 years ago for this one purpose. To establish a witness and to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ is just according to what is written in this book. In the King James Bible is the perfect gift of the Word of God. And we continue to bear witness. This is the only gospel, not the gospel of everybody believes in one God and come together and form. This is the end time sign that Jesus is coming again. What sign? Ecumenical church. This is the problem with the Mandarin service today. They do not know, understand, and they identify themselves with those that are for the ecumenical church. This is the sign. Oh, my friends, remind yourself, we have been called to the Bible Presbyterian Church testimony. That there is a sign that there is going to be a one world church and it is coming very fast. creeping even into the Mandarin service. And they don't know it. When you identify yourself and align yourself with those who believe, or who associate, or who are tainted, and who fellowship with those who are for the ecumenical movement, you are part of that offense. So that is one, the end time movement. Now, another sign that you ought to know is the sign of the fig tree, right? Verse 32. As I've said, many signs are very commonplace. Earthquakes. Every day there are earthquakes around the world. So it is very difficult to identify which one. But when you have the one world church that is different, now another one that is different, very different. And when it happens, you say, wake up! This is a sign. What is a sign? Verse 32. This one, when you see, you must tell yourself, this is the sign, the Lord is coming. Verse 32. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is tender and putteth forth leaves, you know summer is nigh. Likewise, when you see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Now, question. What is the fig tree? If you ask, what is the flower of Singapore? What is the flower? Orchid. Right? Am I right or not? Am I behind time? In across the causeway is the hibiscus. Now, the symbol for Israel is fig tree. This is the national plant, fig tree. When you talk of fig tree, it's Israel, the country of Israel. Now, what do you know about Israel? It's the only nation in the whole world that is traced back to one ancestor. The only nation. Understand? Okay, now, you say, what is so strange about that? It is unique. Because this is the only nation that is being persecuted, destroyed over and over and over again, many times to be destroyed, but never destroyed. Never destroyed. The only country, the only people that survived all these destructions over some 3,000 years. Right? For 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. None. Where were they? You know what they call them? Wandering Jews. They disperse. Even in China you find them. South America, South Africa, everywhere around the world. What happened to them? Because they crucified their Savior. They were sold as slaves around the world. Dispersed to 100 countries. A people without a country and a country without a people. Who were in Palestine? Who were there? A mixed group of people, including Arabs and others, and some Jews were left there. But they were a country without the people, and a people without the country, until when? You know the date. Now this is very significant. When these things happen, you must take note. As I said, the other things, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences, those are very hard to identify, but this one is specific, absolutely unique. What happened? 1948. Exactly 60 years ago. Exactly. 48 to 2008. 60 years ago, out of the blue, out of nowhere, came the nation of Israel. The modern state of Israel was declared in the United Nations. Do you know that? Now, this is a very significant event because no other nation has recovered like this. So how did it happen? Prophetic scripture is full of these instances that I will call my people. God will call His people, the chosen people, the people of the race of Jesus Christ. They will come back again to form a nation. These two events, the one world church, the nation Israel, tell you what, one message. What is it? The Lord is coming. It's so near. What must we do? So, I tell you, this is an event. We talk of the signs. Now, talk of the unbelief. 120 years of preaching, nobody believed. Now the gospel has been on the earth for 2,000 years. How many people believe truly in their heart, in the heart of hearts, in the Christian church? Most churches today do not preach the Lord is coming. They do not. Why? You ask them, do you believe? Yes. Why don't you preach? Answer, because they don't believe. To believe in the mouth and to not talk about it, not to preach about it, and to live accordingly is unbelief. Oh, my friends, how is your faith? How is your belief? The Lord is coming, and when He comes, great things are going to happen. Turn now to our main text of Revelation 19. Revelation 19. We have memorized just a short while ago, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Oh, my friends, I pray that you will not be there with the every eyes on earth to see the coming Savior in power and great glory, and in terror and fear, because those who are in that group, you know what they will do? They will say to the mountains and the rocks, come hide us, because we cannot face the wrath of the Lamb of God who is coming back. Jesus Christ's return will no longer be to Bethlehem. He comes with great power and glory back to His capital city, Jerusalem. Those of us who went there went for a purpose. To remind us, these are special spots on earth that the Lord has told us about. And when you see it, it must stir up your holy fear. The Lord is coming back to Jerusalem. Are you ready? You know what the people of the earth will do? I read for you. You like to turn with me. Is it Revelation chapter 6? Yes, Revelation 6, verse 15 to 16. Just a few pages before 19 is Revelation 6. Ready? I'll read to you. Verse 15, the kings of the earth, great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, all those people who are calling the tune for today, all the great rulers of the earth, those in power, who talk and rule. Every free man, every bondman, everybody who is left on earth on that day, who have not been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you? Are you among which group? The first group that are caught up. When the Lord comes, you will be transformed. You'll be changed in the moment and taken up. You will not be in this group. All those described here are those who are left behind. Will you be one of those who are left behind? And this is what you will do. Who says so? God says so. Yes, in that day, because Jesus Christ will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, in power and great glory and great wrath, to judge the whole earth. And what will the people say? Verse 16. Mountains fall on us. Rocks fall on us. We cannot face the wrath of the Lamb of God. Hide us from the face of Him that sits upon the throne. Who is this Lamb of God? I never knew a Lamb of God can be so angry. Oh, dear friends, the name is the same, But the person is no longer the meek and mild and humble and led to the slaughter and not saying a word. No longer. Because he was obedient unto death, God has honored him with all power given unto him. And he is returning according to God's wonderful one and only plan. What is that plan? What is that plan? God sent his only son to be a man, made a little lower than the angels, to suffer the death for you and for me, in order that he may purchase us, wash us from our sins, as the Lamb of God shedding his blood to wash your sins. Are you grateful? Do you ever thank him? Do you thank him every day? Every day thank God. Why? Because he has given me the gospel, brought me to this church to hear the true gospel, that my sins may be forgiven, and that I may be made ready for the coming again of the Son of God, who will return no longer as a lamb to the slaughter, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he will be very angry with the whole world. What for? For not believing, for their unbelief, for their rejection. And when he comes again, he will come with, we are going to read in a moment, with the armies of heaven, conquering and to conquer. And what will the people on earth do? He says, every eye shall see him. Please, you must not be in that group. Please don't. God gives you the gospel today, the gospel of mercy and grace and salvation today. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Believe on him. Perchance there's somebody here, you have not believed. I said, now is the day. Because you hear the gospel given to you freely. Do not wait to join those in Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. Alright. Please understand, if you reject the free grace of God and salvation, this is where you will be on that day. Read verse 16. You will say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on me, hide me from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who will return as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is it, my dear friends. Believe and be saved, therefore. Now, onto chapter 19. Chapter 19. I want to give you a complete picture of what is happening. And we'll read from verse 1. Alright? Revelation 19. Some people say, Revelation very hard to understand. I say some parts, yes. But most parts very easy to understand. Now you pray. If you say, I can't understand, what do? Pray. Lord, please, I want to understand. When you pray, will he help you to understand? Of course. God who loved you, he gave you the wonderful truth. And why should he make it a mystery to you when you pray for him, pray to him? He will help you to understand right now. Can you understand? Verse 1. I heard a great voice. Can you understand what is a great voice? Some voice that is very loud. That's right. Is it difficult to understand? Now read on. Voice of much people. What do they do? They sing. Hallelujah. Now I ask you, dear friends, will you be there? Answer is yes, if I am a child of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Putting my faith in him, when Jesus comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I shall be transformed, changed, and taken up to be with him. And you will be here among those who will be singing, Hallelujah! What is that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what? Praise the Lord that he loved me and saved me and gave his son to save me. That Jesus Christ died for me and gives me a way out of my everlasting condemnation to give me a life. And life which is beyond this planet Earth, always remind yourself, planet Earth is just a tiny speck in the universe. And it is a temporary place of testing. We are not here forever. While you are here, we are under test. And God is testing you today. Here is the opportunity. believe in Him, you will be among those who say, Hallelujah! And not among those who say, Rock and mountain! Please hide me. I cannot face the wrath of Jesus Christ. Now read on. What will you say? Salvation! Wow! On that day you will think, Thank God I ever came to Calvary in Pandan, where I found salvation. Thank God He ever gave me a sound mind to understand the gospel, that only one way. Jesus Christ, the only way, no other way. That He kept me in this church that is separated and not joined up with the ecumenical church. You thank Him and you praise Him. And to praise Him is Hallelujah. That is the meaning of praise Him. It is the translation, it is the Hebrew word. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Please remember, Jesus Christ is also the great and mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's all His names. So you thank Him. You thank Him every day. Please make your prayer meaningful. Are you having family worship? Oh, dear friends, how many of you are? You ask yourself, if you are not, why not? Now is the time. Now is the time to practice family worship at home, to remind your children, we are heavenly people. Now read verse 2. For true and righteous are His judgments. On that day, all the earth will admit, confess that God is real, God is true, God is righteous, and His judgments are fair and square. On that day, because God restores the conscience to everybody. Now up in heaven, we who are saved, I pray that you will be there. You know that? I pray that you will be there. I will be there. All of us who believe in Him, you will be there. This is the assurance of the Word of God. Then you will sing, Hallelujah! What will you say? Verse 2, True and righteous are God's judgments, for He has judged the great hall. Now who is this great hall? I told you a moment ago, the sign of the end time is the ecumenical church. The ecumenical church is a fusion of all the misled and unbelieving, deceived churches. They join together as one loving so-called church. They will be the false church, and the true church is called the what? What is the true church called? Bride of the Lamb. What is the false church called? The prostitute, the false bride. And the other name for prostitute is whore. Judgment will come. God will judge on that day. The whole world will see that false church will be judged. Today, not. Today, very popular. Today, very deceptive. Even infiltrating into our church in a remote way. People do not know. He has judged the great hall, the false church, the ecumenical church, which hath corrupted the earth with her fornication. What is her fornication? The goods and the message it gives, and the kind of worship, the false unity, all those things lumped together, all the false doctrine is a fornication. The kind of goods you offer to the people, and the people buy it very good, be loving. Why do you always argue, always bring up old wounds? Oh, the Reformation was only a quarrel of brothers. Now we are all back to unity. We are called the separated church, you know. We are the separated brethren. And they are waiting for us to all go back to Rome. Now this is the problem. On that day, that deception will be judged. You thank God for that. But today, do not be misled. Do not be deceived. Do not align yourself in any way with those who are in the ecumenical movement or who have links with those in the ecumenical movement. You say, well, I don't join the ecumenical movement. But if you join with people who are sympathetic to the ecumenical movement, you align yourself, you are guilty. This is the problem today. What this great group of people sing about?
You have judged the great whore, the great false church, which corrupted the earth with her fornication, with her false message, and have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. You know, in the Reformation and post-Reformation period, thousands, hundreds of thousands of believers were either tortured, burned, or killed, including the great translator Tyndale, including Roger, these people, including Wycliffe, including others, John Frith and others. Those who translated the King James Bible were burned and killed, and for the sake of them, we have the King James Bible today. No other Bible had translators who gave their life to translate this Bible, and no other Bible is free from copyright. You know what is copyright? Money! You can reprint. You can go to the printers and print this book, but you cannot print NIV. You cannot print New King James. You cannot print any of the new Bibles because all of them have got monetary interest. This is the only book that cost the martyrs their life. This is the only book that has no monetary interest. Everybody can read it, can print it, can propagate, because this is the only book of God that is true. That's why we keep on saying VPP. What is the meaning? This is the only one that's fully preserved. Fully preserved in every word, perfectly preserved. Why? For such a time as this. As we prepare for the Lord's coming, be wise and understand. Verse 6. I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. In that day it will be seen. Today, dear friends, you come to churches. Some may ridicule you, some doubt you, some say, what a foolish fellow. Always going to a church, or to that church, that narrow church, that church with strange ideas. Let them say what they want to say. But I say, dear friends, you be part of this group that can say, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Today, Jesus Christ does not appear as He is in heaven, at the right hand of God, in the place of power and majesty forever and ever, and is coming again. Read on. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Today you do not see. When the Lord comes, behold, He comes. When He comes, the trumpet sounds, and the next thing, dead in Christ arise, and you will be changed. In how long? Does it take a long time to defreeze, as the cryogenics say? You got to defreeze, they say. No, in the twinkling of an eye, in the flash of a moment, you will be changed. I will be changed. Who will do it? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will change you and me. And we will then be taken up together to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Be glad and rejoice. Today you may be depressed, cannot rejoice. You may be rejected by some. Doesn't matter in that day. What happens today does not matter. As long as you stand firm and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. This is for you. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, the Lord. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Who is the wife? Who is the bride? Answer, you and I. All of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been washed by His precious blood, we become the bride of Jesus Christ. And on that day you say, praise the Lord. I ever followed Jesus Christ faithfully. Today remain faithful. Today follow Him. Even against all odds and all oppositions, doesn't matter. Follow Him. On that day, it will be worth it all. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, will you be invited? Verse 9, a wonderful verse. You like to read with me, please, everybody. If you are part of the group to be there, you read with me together. And He said to me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen and amen. In case you have any doubts, God is so marvelously merciful. He understands all your weakness. The moments when you feel, oh, is it worth to come to Calvary Pandan? Is it worth going to that funny church that believe all those things? Why don't I join the ecumenical church? It's so big and so good and so joyous and so on. I said, don't be deceived. Today does not seem what it may be, what it will be. But on that day, it will be seen. On that day, verse 9, please. We are nearing the closing. Verse 9 says, right. Blessed are you. Alright, I'm going to change the word they to you. Blessed are you who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is all that matters. That great supper of the Lamb where all believing Christians will be invited. Question, will you be invited? That's all that matters. For those who are not invited are those that are saying, mountains, rocks, hide me, I cannot bear the sight of coming of the Lamb of God. You are just in one of two groups. Which one are you, dear friends? And that is an eternal situation. It does not change after that. If you are in the group that is condemned, saying the mountains, hide me, I cannot face the wrath of the Lamb. I cannot face the wrath of Him who died on the cross, offered His life for me, and I rejected Him. Now He's angry with me. And you have no way of escape. There is no second cross. There's no second Savior. Only one. I say, dear friends, please receive the Savior and be one of those in verse 9. Verse 9 says, blessed are you. You are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are you that believe and get included in that invitation. Oh, how wonderful. You know, your name will be written in the invitation and you will find your place there and you will be welcomed there and the Lord will Himself honor you with His welcome. How wonderful it is. But the decision and the faith is to be exercised today. Today, if you believe Him and put all your trust in Him, you will be included in that. Now, verse 11. Then, we've heard Jesus says, all power is given unto thee. Now you're going to see it. Now you're going to see the real Jesus when He comes back. Where is His power? It will be demonstrated for all eyes to see on that day. Verse 11. I saw heaven open. A white horse. He that sat on him was called Faithful and True. Who is he? You know him? Faithful and True. The one who came to keep faith with the Father. The one who came to fulfill the Father's plan of salvation for you and for me. He's faithful. He did not give up. He did not face the cross and say, it's too terrible, I'm going back to heaven. No. Gethsemane, to Calvary, he went for you. Faithful and true. All that he tells you, offers himself for you. Say, I love you. I bled on the cross for you. I gave my life for you. Look to me and be saved. All the ends of the earth. He's faithful and true. Verse 12. His eyes are a flame of fire. You cannot escape his stare and his gaze. When he looks at you, you will melt away all the unbelievers. And he, on his head are many crowns, because all glory, power, honor are given to him. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. What blood? Oh, the blood of the cross. The only blood, the pure blood of God that is able to cleanse and to save, and the only blood that is the terror of Satan. He's afraid of this blood. And here we see him. Of course, all these things are pictorial language. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed already, but this is a picture of His blood that was shed on Calvary. And His name is called the Word of God. Do you know that? When you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, that does say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this Word?
Jesus Christ. This is how Jesus Christ was introduced to us. And now you see, I thought I read it in Gospel of John. Now I see it. Jesus Christ riding the white horse. And it says, His name is written there. The Word of God. There is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. This is the Word of God by which all the creation was created. All the universe, all the planets and the heavenly bodies. By the Word of His mouth, by the breath of His mouth. They were created. That wonderful Word. And it is called the Word of God. Verse 15. Out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. What is this sword? You ever heard of the sword of the Spirit? Oh, this is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God, the most wonderful, powerful, invincible, unopposable Word of God. Do you love it? That is why we in this church are so particular, so insistent that that Word is preserved 100%. Not 99.9, but 100% preserved. If it is not preserved, it is not the Word of God. And God gives us a Word that He preserves. Of course! If He did not preserve His Word, we do not have His Word that is reliable and inerrant and infallible. Verse 15. We are end at verse 16, alright? Out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and He hath on His vesture written on His thigh a name. What is His name? King of kings, Lord of lords. Is He your Lord of lords? Your King of kings? Your Savior? Oh dear friends, we conclude this service with a thanksgiving. To thank God that He is the meek and mild and humble Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, will appear to us one day as King of kings, Lord of lords, Almighty God, Lord over the whole universe. And then we will see how all those who were mighty on earth, the beast, the world dictator, the false prophet, the one who causes all to join the ecumenical church, they will be judged. Today, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, He comes. This is our blessed thought. Our blessed hope. No other hope. What is your hope? Thank God for Jesus coming again. Amen. Let us pray. As we close in prayer, I request you to examine yourself. Ask yourself before the Lord, am I ready? Am I prepared every day for the coming of Jesus Christ? And how can I be ready? Answer, serve Him. Examine yourself. Walk in newness of life. Walk in pathways of righteousness. Flee youthful lust. Away from the sinful ways of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Every day serve Him. Be ready, our Heavenly Father. Grant that all who have heard this message today will daily examine themselves and be ready for the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.